Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm Larry, and I'm on with William, who is co-hosting the show, and we're setting in for Yada, who is in Hawaii, I believe, on a
well-deserved
vacation.
That's right.
You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up here, and now we're into Yahweh's words, is where the concept, Shy of Paul, of the New Testament came from. It was really Paul's letters that invented it. But the first person that really coined the term and took a, and he used a bunch of Paul's letters and some of Luke's writings was Marcion. And he put it, I want you to think of it because this is exactly what happened. He was an anti-Semitic Christian. And he shaped what was originally witness writings that proved the living Torah right out of the heart of the Torah or Korah, Yahusha, had come and fulfilled the Moed Mikra as he said he would do. Okay. He took those witness writings and he didn't include any of the witnesses. He took Paul's letters and he put them in a book. He had, you know, his copy editors flood the market with Paul's letters, and then he took these letters and he put them all in a book, and he added the Gospel of Luke, and because Luke was Paul's historian, and he created what was called a New Testament, and by doing so. He then took the words of the creator of the universe, Yahweh, and he threw these words aside, calling them out of vogue or Old Testament. Now, who in the world, I mean, Marcion was a wealthy shipbuilder. He was the son of a bishop. Who in the world thinks a man can take the words of the creator and just flush them and say they're out of vogue now because we've got these letters from a man.
An idiot.
The New Testament.
Well, you know, what's sad about this to me, I mean, personally, I shared this information with someone whom I love dearly and she went ahead and did the research. She dug into Marcion and emailed me back and said not to send her anything else. Just couldn't handle the fact that, you know, the New Testament, in essence, is man-made doctrine. Period.
Well, you know, what's amazing, I mean, he was a Gnostic. And I believe Paul was a Gnostic too. That's what Gnosticism was about, was spiritualism and including all different types of religion and belief systems, you know. And one of the things that Marcion claimed is that the God of the Old Testament was a nasty, hateful God by the name of Demiurge. Now, if that's true, and of course it's not true,
right,
you would have to take every script that's ever been found where it says Yahweh 7,000 times in the original covenant writings, okay? And they would have had to have replaced Demiurge, he was a land god is what he was. You'd have to replace Yahweh with Demiurge.
Right.
Now, you know, the scripts don't say Demiurge, they say Yahweh, and they say that 7,000 times. So you would have to rewrite all known scripture in order to fulfill this delusion that Marcion had. And, you know, you can look him up, you know, go, Wikipedia will explain it to you. It's a pretty simple thing. Now, that leads me to some of the copy edits. You know, that we see today, you know, there are 69 pre-Constantine Koine Greek parchments.
Right.
69 of them. Now, they are the oldest witness that we have to what would be called witness writings, or what I guess Christians today want to call
scripture. Yeah, they call it scripture.
Yeah, they call it scripture. They call it New Testament. You know, they're following Marcion's lead there. And when you read what the parchments say, okay, as opposed to what you're going to find today in a popular Bible, and of course, Bible is literally named after the sun goddess Biblia. Okay, now can you imagine Yahweh, who hates every facet of religion and is not a religious deity, tells us, you know, not to take the names of religious deities and put them in his mouth.
Right.
He says that very clearly, you know, and he's not saying that, you know, for any other reason than to affect the way we're viewing his words. You know, he says that surely the person who proclaims a message on behalf of a deity who oversteps their bounds to speak words in my name, which I have not instructed nor directed him to speak, and who speaks the name of other gods, indeed, that prophet shall die. Now, that's in words, or Dabarim, Deuteronomy 18:20.
And that's Yahweh being dead. He's being dead. He's doing what you and I would do for our kids. We do not want our kids to be indoctrinated with this poison. And so Yahweh doesn't want us to bow down to pagan deities and so forth. In fact, he does not want to be worshipped.
Well, he doesn't want to be related in any way, shape, or form to anything religious.
Right.
But yet we see terms like grace, which comes from gratia. You know, the graces were associated with the underworld and
right.
with the Eleusinian mysteries. Their naked form stands at the entrance of the Acropolis in Athens. Naked Francescos of the Charities adorn the homes in Pompeii, Italy, which means they transcended the Greek religion and influenced Rome, where they became known as the Gratia, or the Grace.
And that influence is still present today.
Yeah, well, you got the word Bible.
Right.
You know, right. Holy. And halos, they come from Helios, the sun god.
Yeah, but you want to know something, Larry?
The Roman
that's not what it means
loyal.
To me.
What's that?
That's, you know, what you hear on average is or from most people is, that's not what it means to me, though. You know,
yeah, but Yahweh
I
just told us not to do it.
Right.
What does Yahweh, how does Yahweh say he talks to us?
Through his word.
Through his words, and that's what he calls them, his words.
Right.
And yet they take a book and they copy edit his words and they put words like Mikra gets changed to church. You know, the oldest Druid temples were built in circles, and it's a transliteration of the word church, which was the daughter of Helios, the sun god. She was a sun goddess. Gospel of grace means Gospel of Gratia. On it goes.
And for those listening who feel that you know, Larry and I are just nitpicking, if you will, why don't we take a look at what Yahweh's word says and Hosea, which has been corrupted to Hosea 4:6, and Hosea means he saves, says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the Torah of your God, I also will forget your children. So knowledge is important. Without it, you know, I dare say you will die.
Well, Yahweh just said you will.
Right. Right.
I'd say that's a fair assessment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happens here when, you know, we see these religious copy edits, and we don't just see, you know, they throw people off the path. You know, when Yahusha, and he spoke Hebrew, said, you know, upon this rock I will establish my Mikra, he was talking about his called out assemblies, the Moed Mikra, of you know, they start with Passover in the spring and they end with Sukkah, the seventh of the seventh step or the seventh Moed Mikra in the fall, in the seventh month. And yet that gets changed to church, which has, you know, a completely divergent meaning. It becomes a religious institution instead of a festival. You know, I used to love it, you know, when I was a kid, when the street fair would come to town.
Same here.
You know, you'd go, it was like a festival. It was a real party. And yet, that's what we're to be looking forward to, these feasts and this understanding that Yahweh is very real, and he's not a religious deity. You know, let's go to Yirmiyahu, and we want to get, and I'm going to get into this. Is there a new covenant, and has the covenant been restored, or is it currently being restored? The truth is, there is no new covenant. There's one covenant. It's the original covenant, the one he established with Abraham and developed through Moshe as fulfilling, you know, himself. If you look at Yirmiyahu 31:31, he says, "Behold, the day is coming, declares Yahweh, that I will make a renewed covenant with the household of Yisrael and the family of Yehuda." Now, there's only two groups talked about here, and that's the family associated with Yahweh, which would be the what we call Jews today, or Yehudim. And Yisrael, which would make up the rest of these tribes, right? So there's only two groups there. He didn't say, I'm going to establish a church of and we're going to get people from outside Yisrael, and I'm going to establish a new covenant with them.
That's right.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have a guest that's joined us, and is Robert Cristiano, a former Christian who made the jump to Yahweh's family, which is easy enough to do. How are you doing today, Bob?
I am well. I am quite well. Thank you for asking.
Well, you ought to be. You run a wellness center. You better be, right?
That's right.
Well, thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Bob, you know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Let's see, born and raised Baptist for 50 years. Just caught up into that whole thing and never knew there was any options. You know, I didn't know God had a name. I didn't know anything about the covenant and the feasts. I mean, nothing at all for 50 years. And then one day I was exposed to the name and, you know, started digging in. Because I always felt that there was I was missing something. You know, that quote-unquote God's got to be bigger than this New Testament. New Testament. I mean, and I can't speak for other religions, but being a Baptist, that's all you were taught was New Testament. We're New Testament believers. And I got old after a while. I hate to say, hate to put it that way, but it got old after a while.
Well, and it doesn't make sense because, I mean, I think most people are aware there's something woefully wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the churches, I think they know that. You know, we know that the covenant has not been restored because Yahweh tells us very clearly that when he restores the covenant, he is going to literally incorporate the Torah as part of our being.
Exactly.
You know, that's how out of vogue it is to him. I mean, his plan was always the Torah, and Yahusha was fulfilling Torah, when he fulfilled the Moed Mikra, when he was crucified, when his soul went to Sheol and served as a ransom, and when he rose for Bikurim, or first fruits. You know,
right.
That is all Torah.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, apparently the rabbis couldn't find the mercy in the Torah, and of course, you know, when they invented their new religion, when Marcion decided that Yahweh's words were out of vogue or Old Testament when he threw it aside, I guess he decided just to plaster over the Moed Mikra, and then, you know, Constantine comes along and removes the upright pole for a satanic cross.
Sure.
And then,
sure.
Of course, as you mentioned earlier, you didn't even know God had a name.
Right.
So I'm sure you were calling him by Satan's title or Baal's title, Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, which is frightening, to say the least. You know, and you're talking about the new covenant and Yeshayahu there. And it just goes to show the copyedit errors, because, you know, like in the King James and stuff, it'll say, you know, I will make a new covenant. When in reality, as we know, I will renew my covenant. So just one word sends us off on a totally different mindset, a totally different
trail. Yeah, and of course, they don't read beyond that, where he says when he's renewing his covenant, it's the Torah is going to be incorporated in everybody. Today, you have to study it. You don't know it. You have to read it.
That's right.
You know, and I don't know
exactly
what percentage
right.
of the Torah we can even observe or understand. But as long as we're observing and our eyes and ears are opening, which is what Yahweh asks us to do, he doesn't expect a lot out of us, you know, but he expects us to take his words seriously.
Sure. And, you know, when I first became one of Yah's children, you know, I used to say, you know, shame on these pastors and preachers for, you know, teaching falsehood. And but now it's like, shame on the people. You know,
it's both.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're required to dig in and so on and so forth. Don't put the whole onus on the pastor. I mean, you know, that just tells me you're really not serious. You know, you're really not serious. I mean, crying out loud, I mean, our eternal destiny is at stake here. You know, wouldn't one, if one was truly serious, wouldn't one want to turn over every rock just to make sure you're getting the truth?
If they believed it. If they truly believed it.
Yeah.
I don't think most people do. I think it's a lot of lip service.
I agree.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm Larry. We have Bob on and William co-hosting. I want to straighten something out here, you know, because I sound a little crass maybe in saying that most people who claim they believe in God really don't believe. Mm-hmm. They don't believe his words. They are often in opposition to his words. And I think that can be demonstrated pretty clearly. If I said to you, I have a secret here, and this secret, and it's real, will allow you to earn $1 billion over the next 6 weeks, but I need you to study this piece of paper and understand it. And if it were real, if I could really do that, I'll bet you I could get a lot of takers. What's
Absolutely.
Your guess?
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it, Larry. Yeah.
Yet Yah was talking about things greater than any of that.
Right.
And he's practically does everything shy of lie to us to get our attention.
Right.
I mean, he's willing to go through diminishing a part of himself, entering this world and have his own creation spit on him and crucify him.
Mm.
And his soul go to Sheol as a ransom for the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. That's, you know, that's a lot to go through. And what is he doing it for? A relationship.
Right. Right.
And it must infuriate him. I know it does. I mean, he said it does in Shabbat, you know, where the New Testament, this whole concept of a New Testament arises and really just shuts his word out, you know, or at least attempts to. I think we're living in unique times and we'll, you know, Yah will prevail. So, you know, but just all of the millions of souls that were squandered due to Paul's false doctrine is
Paul's
really
letters.
Sad.
His letters.
You know, I think that there's, I really do believe that there are some people sitting in the pews of churches that know that there's something wrong and they're missing something, but they really don't know which way to turn. And they're
they don't know where to go. That's
and
why.
They're afraid.
I looked for years.
And they're afraid. And, you know, the problem is they end up glued to the pew and they never get anywhere until you have to branch out. And I'm here to tell you, I know it's going to sound a little funny, but you know, I started doing this, it was scary to me. I mean, I said to myself, oh, man, I'm going to hell just for questioning this stuff. I mean, I really felt that.
Did you really? I mean, see, I felt like I knew that there was it was a satanic force inside all the churches I'd been in. I knew it.
Mm.
And so I walked out of the churches and looked for 15 years until I found Yada Yah.
Mm.
And anybody listening ought to go to yadayah.com or introtogod.org and read it. Just read it. Mm. Oh, there's a challenge for you.
Yeah, and what you'll big, find is Paul fanatic. Go to questioningpaul.com. I'm sorry, Larry.
Yeah, what you'll find is that you've been lied to.
Right.
You know, we were all taught there were these hordes of men who were scholars working to preserve Yahweh's words. And then you look at Yahweh's words next to what they wrote off the oldest scribed parchments, and you find out they don't even read the same way.
Exactly.
They're intentionally misleading. So there's no experts out there, you know, with their degrees trying to dig up Yahweh's words. They're not doing it. You know, and
Yada says, a scholar knows a lot of things but understands nothing.
Well, most of that might be true of scholars, but when you get into scribes, it's even worse than that because they're really working for their religious masters.
Right.
That's right.
And, you know, a very chilling, Yah has some pretty chilling words in his word, as you know. And in Jeremiah 7, you know, there's a passage in there where he's speaking to the righteous people. And he's telling them that for those that are obstinately opposed to the Torah, don't bother praying for them because I'm not going to even hear your prayers.
Right.
Yeah, well, it amazes me that people sit around and beat their head against the wall trying to get Torah through to people who hate the Torah. I don't do it. And I don't feel sorry for those people. I really don't. Once you show them Yahweh's words.
Right.
And this is what it says. I mean, he says that any prayer, you know, from anybody that opposes the Torah is an abomination.
Abomination, absolutely. And that's chilling, you know, and you show that to people and they just, have you guys ever noticed that a lot of times when you share Yah and the Torah with a religious person, if they don't accept it, it seems like it drives them back deeper into their own religion. You know, they'll get a thing like, yeah, those people are in a cult. You know, I knew there was something weird about those people. You know, I'm going back to the church and the brethren, you know, where I'm loved and stuff. You know,
cult. A cult is a group of, last I checked, a cult had to have a leader, building, money, you know, things like that.
The
family has no such thing.
Right, exactly. And it's just, you know, and that's another thing. When you read that scripture in Jeremiah, it's like, okay, who are the righteous ones? Well, in Dabarim, Deuteronomy 6:25, we become righteous if we observe his Torah. So,
yeah, his Torah that's righteous. It's not us. It's the path.
Exactly. He makes us righteous by observing the Torah.
That's right.
You know, so we're the righteous ones. And it's like, man, oh, man. And just like in Isaiah 8:20, where he says about the law, the Torah, and the prophets, if they're not speaking according to this word, there's no light in them.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
That kind of wipes out all the pastors and preachers.
No,
so
not only
let me
that,
ask you this. Why the big, you know, clutch on Paul? Why? If Yah's word says that, why do people cleave to Paul? I don't get this.
Well, when you have anything, and I don't care what the subject matter is, if you've got something drumbeat into your skull for decades, you believe it. You just buy into it. And the problem is, though, nobody thinks to question it. See, that's the problem. You know
what Paul's name means, don't you? Paul, yeah, Sheol, that was his name. Sheol means question him. Now,
right.
Just think about this for a minute.
Right.
You know, we're quoting, you know, you're my you, we're... lift up Yahweh, or Yahweh lifts up Yasha Yahu, which means Yahweh is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Yahweh puts a lot of stock in a name. Yahusha means Yahweh saves.
Oh, man.
And then we got a guy called Question Him. You know, you might want to start by questioning him.
Exactly.
You know, we're talking about the renewal of the covenant and the covenant being for Yisra El and Yahudam. And right in Yasha Yahu 53:8, better known today as Isaiah, it says, "For indeed he was cut off and separated away from the land of the living because of the revolt of my family to whom every stroke was due." So clearly, Yahusha was taking a beating that the family deserved.
Mm.
That means we'd better become a part of the family, doesn't it?
Yes. Absolutely.
And how do we do that? Well, in 56:6-7, Yasha Yahu, he tells us exactly how. Children from foreign nations, that would be us, who
right.
form a relationship with Yahweh, serving him, and get this, and loving Yahweh's personal and proper name.
Oh, man, yeah.
Who carefully observe and revere the Sabbath and do not treat it with contempt, those who are passionate about and empowered by my familial covenant relationship, not by a religion, but understanding it's a family thing, these I will bring to my set-apart mountain, rejoicing in my home and tabernacle of prayer. Their offerings will rise up and be accepted because my household shall be called a house of intercession for all people. There it is, folks.
Yeah,
so anybody can join the family, can't they?
You mean
yes.
This is not just for the Jews? It's a Jewish thing, man.
No, it's a Yahweh thing.
Yeah, I know. Fine, I'll be a priest.
No,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
you are, but I mean, clearly, Yahweh established these seven Moed Mikra as a way to settle all dispute and his seventh day of rest and his covenant relationship, which involves circumcision, physical circumcision. Yet people want to say, well, that's for the Jews. Well, I thought Yahweh, the creator of the universe, loved all people.
And Shaul changed his name to Apollos, right?
Which means lowly and little.
That's right.
There's
and
another
indeed he is lowly and little.
Well, you know, like I said previously, when I found out when the evidence about Paul started coming into me, I just could not believe it. You know, again, my background, born and raised Baptist, you're a Paul guy. You're a Paul lover. And when I found out that he was a creep, that devastated me, and I'm ashamed to say that, but, you know, it devastated me, and that's when I realized the grip he had on me, and that's when I realized I got to let this go.
Well, yeah, many of the churches that you attend, that one will attend, you're bouncing back from Romans to Ephesians every Sunday, isn't it? I mean, really?
Absolutely.
Acts?
Yeah, you know, and these pastors, I've been in enough churches where, you know, it's all New Testament, but, you know, they'll go back to be familiar with it, any new listeners, in the Old Testament, yeah, they'll read a verse or two out of there, but it's 99% New Testament.
Yeah, well, and they typically take anything out of Yahweh's actual words, which
right.
they're calling Old Testament, they'll take those out of context. It's just like saying Chadesh, which could mean, it could mean new, but it clearly means renewed. You know, because you have to put it in context with everything else he says. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm on with William and Bob, who has called in. I'd mentioned earlier about the 69 pre-Constantine parchments and the older parchments we have of what they call a New Testament, which were really witness writings originally to prove the Torah. And I want to read the oldest parchment verse we have in Matanyahu, which is Matthew today. It means Yahweh's gift, 7:21-23. And then I'm going to read the Bible version, one right after another. Not anyone calling me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But to the contrary, those in heaven are those who do my Father's will. Many will say to me in this specific day, Lord, Lord, did we not speak inspired utterances and prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name, perform many mighty miracles in your name? Then at that time I will profess to them, I never knew them. You all must depart from me, those who bring about that which is in opposition to the Torah. Okay? Well, that's what it says. And now the Bible version. From the book named after the sun goddess Biblia. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So it went from not anyone calling me Lord to not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. So people in opposition to the Torah, which most Christians are today, becomes evil doers. Wow. So what is an evil doer? Whatever the pastor says is an evil doer? Do you guys know? I mean, I'm not sure exactly.
An evil doer is somebody who does not relinquish their 10% every Sunday. That's an evil doer.
Well, what do you think, Bob? What's an evil doer to you? Okay, well, there you go. I mean, I guess an evil doer is whatever you decide it's going to be. Isn't that right, William? I mean,
that's right. That's right.
Goes to the bar and doesn't go to church. He's an evildoer.
Well, another verse in Yahuwah, which has been corrupted to John, John 1:17. For the reason the Torah through Moshe was given, acceptance and truth through the Messiah Yahusha came to exist. And then you have in the King James Version, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I mean, there's a significant difference there, Larry.
Excuse me, yes. For the reason the Torah through Moshe was given, acceptance and truth through the Messiah Yahusha came to exist. So he's crediting the Torah, the acceptance of the Torah,
right,
with the very existence, physical existence of Yahweh saves, or Yahusha. Suddenly that becomes, Torah becomes law, even though Torah does not mean law.
No,
not in any way. And then they throw in the pagan goddesses of grace and change the name from Yahusha, Yahweh saves, to Jesus Christ. Yeah, so those are intentional copy edits, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the question of the day is why? Why was this done? Why?
Well, I mean, it's done clearly. You know, that gets right back into the scribes that worked
right
for their religious masters. It was done to advance a religion based on the notions that faith and grace would replace trust and Torah.
Right. And
which
so,
may be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And Bob mentioned earlier, he talked about how, you know, hearing that if you weren't Torah observant, you know, your prayers weren't heard and so forth. And that's in Proverbs 28:9, word picture, all right, a word picture. And it says, one who turns his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You're not Torah observant. God, Yahweh, is not hearing your prayers.